This evening, I told you last week we're going to take a turn today. I don't know when I'm going to stop this one. Maybe next week. Maybe 2 weeks from now. But one of my most sensitive teachings, is Blessing in the Service? She's not. All right. One of my most sensitive, because our song, she has a little song, I Give You My Heart. It really helped me prepare for this teaching. Such a great song. So one of the most sensitive things. Now, this is a teaching that if you're not interested in following God's plan for your life, don't bother coming. You know, there are some teachings some folks don't want to hear. I know some folks like that. If all you want to tell them is redemption, the blood has been shed, they'll be in the service every minute. But begin to talk about what God wants. And then they feel, does he want anything again? And you know, they go bonkers because they don't want to hear that. So if you're not interested in knowing God's plan and his purposes, then you probably don't have to be in this series. You come back maybe next year, we'll probably be talking about fasting. You know, really, because this is something I try to teach every year. Because it's important to me. I believe, and knowing fully well that a lot of people that I pastor today, they are at critical stages of their lives. Many are young. Young is relative anyway, but some of these things need to be reemphasized and well understood. And I want you to pay good attention. Like I said, if you're not interested in it, you could even leave the service. But if you're interested in knowing God's plans, you're interested in obeying God, then this is an important series. You need to open your ears and don't just add this to the doctrines you know. You understand? You can say, well, now I can teach this now. No. It's something you need to think about at this point. Amen. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for another opportunity to fellowship around your word. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of your word. We receive your word and we receive the same. We thank you, Father, because you will birth in every one of us a fresh sense of consecration to your purpose and plan. You will inspire all of us in obedience, and all of us here, under the sound of my voice, through myself, we will begin to look for and diligently search for and walk in your purpose and plans for our lives. After today, we come against the spirit of error. After today, we ask that everyone who is on the wrong path will be corrected to walk in your plan and purposes. And from this following weeks after today, everyone here will have enough information in his mind to obey you and to walk in line with your purpose and plan. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at something for a while, and the title is Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Now, I'm going to ask you, I did a series last year, Following God's Plan for Your Life, right? And Success and a couple of other things. Then I think the previous year, Leadings and Perception. Was it last year? Last year as well, Leadings and Perception. I think a year ago, Fulfilling Your Destiny in God. Yeah, a year ago? A year before then. Then a year before then, how to be led by the Spirit of God. Am I correct? Okay, so I will advise you to get those materials. I don't know, God just wants me to share this. You know, there are some things you know as a pastor you need to teach, doctrine-wise. Some things the Lord say you need to talk about this now. Now. And that's what we're going to talk about. So I want you to open your ears very well. So say plans, purposes, and pursuits. Say it again. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. Okay, let's go. Now, listen to this. A believer, you're a child of God, you're born of the Spirit. One of the major things or responsibilities of a believer as he grows in the faith is to find out and follow God's plans. To find out and follow God's plans. You know, you need to find it out. What exactly is God's plan? And what is his purpose? Go to Revelation 4:11. Let me show you something quickly. Revelation 4:11. Sometimes we learn our rights and privileges in Christ. And I'm a strong person who teaches. You have to be a teacher. The realities of who we are in Christ. And you know, I've been at this for at least 2 decades now, teaching the same things, you know, about who we are in Christ. And I noticed something. There's a tendency to know that truth of God's word, which is very fundamental, and assume that God does things on your own terms. You just assume, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, because sin has no dominion over me, because I'm anointed in Him, I say, well, you know, whatever I do, He has to be right. You're wrong. God's still the one in charge. He's the one in charge. So look at Revelation 4:11, and this is the key. That statement, a friend of mine, I listened a lot. I was in university when he said this. He didn't know the import of what he said, and I probably want you to write it down. It's very vital. He said, the most disastrous experience a Christian can have is to do efficiently what he ought not to have done at all. And we're in a world where you think because something succeeds is the right thing, and because something fails is the wrong thing. No. That's not true. Because something succeeds and you get accolades of people, and then, you know, things go well. Oh, that's God in there. But if it don't go well, God wasn't in it. Depending on what you mean by it goes well or it doesn't go well. Praise the Lord. Are you listening now? Now, look at Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, is a vision, to receive glory and honor and power. Okay? For thou hast created most things. How many things? All things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. The pleasure there is the same word for his will, his design. Now, he didn't say all things are in his pleasure. He says all things are for his pleasure. That is, the reason why he created things is for his own pleasure. That shows that really there's nothing God made or God does for your pleasure. It's for his pleasure. All things are created and they were made for his pleasure. Not yours. So, listen now. It's not abnormal. Now, listen again. It's not abnormal for you to do God's will. Sometimes we think it's abnormal. We think it's a stress. No, it's not a stress, really. And this is how I share it. I put it like this. I say, remember Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel in the Bible, right? In the lion's den. He is dumped into a den of hungry lions whose first instinct is to devour Daniel. Not true? Not true? And God says no. I don't think the animals went, say, glory to God. I thought they complained. Hallelujah. I thought they go, oh. And then they say, God, you mean we can't eat this? God says no. I don't think they lost their appetite. I don't think they went, God, we can't what? Eat it. And then the female animal, the female lion will go, see the biceps. God, can we just touch it? Can we just... But the point is, they didn't eat it. Because God said so. Remember that? Remember one time in 1 Samuel 6, the children of Israel, they had the Ark of the Covenant, you know, was taken away from them by the Philistines. So when the Ark of the Covenant was with the Philistines, they discovered that they had a lot of crisis in their town, in their country. So they thought, is it this Ark that is causing the problem? Because they found, every time they put it before Dagon, Dagon is their god, he keeps falling down. So is it coincidental? Or is it coincidental? Or is because this is supernatural? So, well, how do we find out? Now, they sent the same ark to many countries and many other cities and those ones. Said, well, we watch CNN, we found out what happened. Please don't bring this kind of stuff here. And so they waited. So they thought about it. Let's find out whether this thing is of God or not. You know what it is? Say, well, we're going to do this. We're going to find milking cows, mama cows, whose first instinct is to go to their kids. Milking cows. Natural instinct. Go to the kid, feed the kid. That's a natural instinct. So what we're going to do, we're going to put the ark on the milking cows, whose first instinct will be, go to your babies. They said, if the milking cows don't go to the babies and go straight to Israel, Jerusalem, then we know that this ark is of God. So they put the ark on the animals. And the animals went straight road. But as they were going, they were lowing as they were complaining. They wanted to go. The instinct was to go where? To the kids, to their babies. But because they carried God, hallelujah, and His presence, they went straight on. Are you still there? That means, listen now, obeying my instinct all the time, obeying my wants all the time, could just be a proof that I'm out of God's will. And not having my wants doesn't mean I'm out of God's will. Are you listening now? So they were complaining, they were grumbling, but they went straight into Israel. So they knew this ark must have been of God. Because if it wasn't of God, they'll have gone straight away to what they wanted. And I'm sharing this in 1996 to a group of ministers I was ministering to then. And I said, guys, I'm watching out for you. Will this we're doing today, we keep doing it. When life's demands come on us, when there are other things that we want to do, are we truly carrying God's calling upon our lives? Or are we just doing this because we have nothing else to do? Because when there are other competing demands, the proof that we are carrying God is that we'll go straight and fulfill His purpose and His plans. Are you listening now? I shared it in 1995, actually. Now, so it's not abnormal, though people will see that you're abnormal when you're doing what God planned that you should do. Because it looks crazy. How would an animal eat Daniel? Why wouldn't the milking cows go to their babies? It's scriptural to eat. Scripture to go to your baby. But God says no. Now listen. God's will, listen now, is in my will. I think we need to set that quickly. God's will is in my will. Say, God's will is not my will. Hallelujah. You need to know that quickly. Someone said, the proof of pursuit is desire. That if you have a desire, that means you pursue it. That's absolute nonsense. God's will is not my will. That's why I'm going to recognize that. God's will, He's not my will. My will needs to respond to God's will. Because I'm born again. Now, quickly, let me just go over some things, basically, because God teaches today. Now, God's will is primarily written for you. You hear that? God's will is written primarily for you to see. God's will is written. I told you last week, when you know the written word, and then you're going about praying, you're looking for confusion. What are you praying about? Well, I just think maybe God's got something to say. No. You're looking for confusion. Now, look at Jesus. Jesus, three times, Satan comes to three times. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, Luke's Gospel 4. Satan comes in three times. And Jesus says, it is written. He didn't pray about it. He said, it is what? Written. Why? You back up a bit. Look at Hebrews 10. It's a prophecy about Jesus. Hebrews 10. A prophecy about Jesus was in the book of Psalm. Hebrews tells us he fulfilled it. Hebrews 10. Verse 7. This is quoting Hebrews 10 verse 7. Praise the Lord. This is Psalm 40 verse 6. He says, then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. It is what? It is what? Written. So, I have a duty to find out what is God's will. What did he say he wanted? What is written? What is, does he say? Did he say he wanted? Now, earlier on, I was talking to a pastor friend. He's one of those folks that I try to mentor. I haven't seen him more than once, but I mentor him, you know. So, he's about to take a decision. And I'm trying to solve a problem. My own private problem. So, he bosses me. And he says, sir, I want to discuss with you. First instinct in my mind is, let's talk about it later. Not correct. But I said, That's not why you're called to the ministry. You're called to the ministry to answer him first. So I repented quickly. I said, hey, brother, sorry, we can talk about it now. Say, are you sure, sir? I said, I'm very sure. Reluctantly. I was very sure, but I didn't like it. So he was about to take a very vital decision in his life as a pastor. So I said, you know what? If you do this, I said, because we looked at what the word says, you are in the will of God. You don't need to go pray. By the time you start to pray, you're not going to be conversing with God anymore. So don't pray about this. Now, some things are written clearly in Scripture. Look at 1 Timothy 2:4. Who wills that all men should be saved? That's very clear. And to come to the knowledge of what? Truth. So I know God's will is salvation. God's will is to have people saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Peter says, who desires not that any man should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. So I know the will of God. Now think about this. This is how I talk to people. When I talk to people who are probably young. And I say it like this. I said, do you believe that Jesus is God? And they say, yes. They're Christians, of course. They have to believe that. You believe that he came to the earth to fulfill the will of God. Yeah. Do you believe that whatever he came to do must have been so dear to the heart of God that God came himself. He said, yes. So what did he come to do? He came to die for sins so that man can be saved. He said, very good. That's very clear. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. That there was anything that was made. Now, it goes in verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. John 10:10. I am come that you may have life and have it abundantly. 1 John 3. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 3:8-9. Titus 2:11. The grace of God that brings what? Salvation. So I said, if there's anything in your life that is above the salvation of souls, you are not in the will of God. I said, no! Say, no. What about my prosperity? That's how we think. No. I just explained to you. Why did Jesus come? He came to save. Okay. So, that's the will of God. Yes. So, you cannot be in the will of God and nobody is getting saved. You can't be. If you are in the will of God, people will be getting saved. Let me see if you understand that quickly. If you are in the will of God, someone says, no, whoa. But why? But why what? That's why Jesus came. So if you're in the will of God, and if you're doing anything, if you're involved in so many activities, and nobody's getting saved because of what you're doing, we can think that everything that is happening in this world is will of God. That's not true. Not true. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I got to come back to that. If you're not winning souls, so what are you doing? Well, I just established 4 branches of my company in different nations. Clap for yourself. For this purpose, the Son of God be manifest. That you should establish your companies. Isn't that true? Praise the Lord. However, I just became I was given Nobel Prize for Science. You think God sees that? And God's clapping. Wow, you made that discovery? Wow! And all the angels are saying, woo! For every scientific discovery, all angels rejoice in heaven. Is that true? Many things we do on earth, heaven is not concerned. I mean, it's not that heaven is not happy. You know, it's something that gets you that you're happy about. Heaven isn't concerned. We do them anyway. So God's primary goal is to redeem people. Do you agree there? So if that is my primary purpose in life, will I be in God's plan? Will I be in God's plan? How do you know that everything God has been doing since Adam is to save souls? Let me give that. Do you agree with that? So, if I'm in God's plans, I should be doing that. How do I know that? I don't have to go pray about that. I don't have to go pray about that. That is written for me to see. Amen? Is there? So, Do you know the Bible says if you are in Christ, you're a new creature. What does that mean? Say, all things are passed away. Imagine you got saved. That means you got saved like age 75. And you were a professor of literature. Why did I say literature? Because One of my favorites is Professor Wole Soyinka. I love him a lot. I like the man so well. Just wish he should hear the gospel and not go to hell. Because he'll go to hell if he dies the way he is. His intellect leaves this earth, now he stays here. He goes to hell, and that's all. But you see, you're a professor, and then you're 75. You've achieved so much, imagine, so much. Laurels upon laurels upon laurels upon laurels. And you know what we say to us? We say, well, we say, Professor so-so and so, PhD, Cantab, PhD, Oxford, LLD, Profi, then, he's 75, he was saying, oh, I think God is also dancing, Profi, and then he's 75, then he hears the gospel, then he believes the gospel, and he's saved. And God says, all things are passed away. Thought about that. All things are become new. And God says, you're not a babe. Life just started for him. Not true? Not true? He's 75 years old, but he comes to the church and he's a babe. How can you call a 75-year-old man a baby in Christ? Well, in Christ. Praise the Lord. Told a man years back. He said, oh, do you know how old I am? I said, my Bible is older than you. So what do you mean? The Bible dates about 4,000 years. Yeah, God is rock of ages. What are you, stone of what? Not trying to be rude. Doesn't factor. That's the truth. Life doesn't start until you are in Christ. That says something to us. So, heaven doesn't celebrate what we celebrate in the world. 1 Timothy 4. Listen now. Whatever will not count in eternity is not worth living for. What about that? Whatever will not count in eternity is not worth living for. 1 Timothy 4:8. Bodily exercise, 1 Timothy 4:8. Profit is needed, but godliness is profitable in what? All things. 1 Timothy 4:8. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of a life that now is, and of that which is to what? To come. So say godliness. Say godliness. Say just not this life, even the life which is to come. Sometimes, you know, as believers, we can get so brainwashed by the world, we forget there's actually life after this life. He says it's God. It's profitable for life that now is and that which is to come. So, if I will, the measure, and we're going to see this later, the measure of purpose in life is what is the eternal value of what I'm doing. What's eternal value? Years ago, and this, I'm going to say some very harsh realities here. Can I go ahead? Yes, well, I will anyway. I was talking to a lady, and her husband just left her with 4 kids. And she is bitter about it. She's all over it, months and all that. And she attended a Foursquare church, and that's a great church. I used to preach for them. And the pastor that comes, she's still downtrodden, and she's looking up and looking down, and she's, oh, look at me. She went to say, well, God do this to me. And she's all about me. So I'm a young man, still young. I go into her house and I say, sit down. I said, what's the big deal anyway? Everybody's trying to pass it. What's the big deal anyway? Why are you doing as if you'll be awarded best wife in heaven? She said, look at this young evangelist talking to me how he likes. I said, no, sit down. Can't you get, you're not even bitter or crying over whether you're doing God's will for your life? When last did you feel this way because you did not pray? She's looking at me. She said, but I said, wait, let me finish. It's all about you. Who told you a successful marriage is the proof that you're in God's will? Who said that to you? It's how you handle life's different circumstances that shows that you're pleasing God. I say, right now you're not pleasing God. Murmuring is never pleasing God. Complaining is never pleasing God. You get out of it. Even if you're going to change this situation, this is how you're going to do it. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Don't you read that? She said, oh yes. I wasn't done. You were crying over a man who left you made for another woman. So when last did you weep and cry over a soul that is going to hell? Jesus didn't come to this world for you to become a missing something. She said, ha, I understand. At the point she said, I'm broken. I said, no, I'm not broken yet. I'm going to break you properly. Clean your eyes. Hit the streets. Go on evangelism. That's why Jesus died. Ah! She said, okay, I'll go. Yes. Praise the Lord. God doesn't do things on your terms. Forget all this rubbish that has been preached in many pulpits today. That's been nice, lovely, fine. It is the will of God. Ask Paul. He was out of God's will all his life. Praise the Lord. You're quiet. When you have friends, why are they close to you? Why? Soul winning is evangelism and discipleship. That's why Jesus came. It's the primary purpose of God in the earth today. The man asked a question. If you see God today, assuming you have to tap him and say, God, what's on your heart? He will say, the souls of men who are perishing. Jesus gave us that example in Luke's gospel. He says, if you have 100 sheep and one of them should leave, your heart will be with one. So if my heart is not with the lost, then I'm not thinking God's will. That's true. God's will isn't difficult. It's written, it's there. Sometimes we worry about lives of others and people ask you, what about your own life? Selfishness. Someone saw me years ago. I was coming out, you know, preaching the gospel. Young man. I was in the first year in school. And he said, he looked at me like a miserable piece of trash. And he says, this is my cousin. Well, distant cousin. So what's it? He's a Muslim. He says, is this how you want to continue your life? Well, except you're not a human being, that should get to you. He's saying, are you thinking about your future? Why have you carried religion into your head like this? He's lecturing me. Sometimes we get so carnal, we allow a Muslim even get to us. Is that a prophet of God? And I thought about it. And I said, well, this is how I'm going to continue my life. Makes no difference. Sometimes, tell yourself the truth. God's will doesn't mean everybody is going to say, thank you for doing this. No. Let me ask a question a friend of mine asked me 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He's teaching in his church. He asks his questions, and I wanted to know the question. He said, why don't you want to die now? In a what church? Don't say! Death is an enemy of God! Calm down, is the question. Why don't you want to die now? Ah! Ha! I was deceived you years ago. Thieves came to our house, my parents' place then, and they bought in all sorts of stuff. So I had to confront them. I was in the name of Jesus. And that guy said, if I cut your head, and I thought about it, if he cuts my head, I won't get married. That came to my mind. Imagine. I was a pastor, I wasn't thinking about souls. But you know, why do you want to live an extra day? Ah, I have to be fulfilled though. Why? Fulfilled in what? Ah, hey! Hey! I'll get where my mates have gotten to. Rat race. Why do you want to, why should God add an extra day? Ah. Ah. Oh. When I'm planning, I'll have my own companies. It's all about you, right? Have you ever read what Paul said? Philippians 1:21. For me to live is what? It's to travel around the world. Summer holiday. For me to live is Christ. And then we sing, pick up your cross. Really follow me, Lord, I'm not ashamed to shout. My love for you, my love, simply devoted. Sometimes we don't even think of what we're thinking. Oh Lord, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. You know, we think it so well, we forget what they're saying. For me to live is Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. Christ, are you sure? Christ in what you're doing tomorrow? Amen. Why do you want an extra day? What would be the reason? If you want to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 20, 120, what would be the reason? Think about it. Why? What would you be doing for God next 60 years? Why would you be here? Think about it. Why do you have friends? What are the friends for? What are your friends for? What do you do with friends? What are they for? Do you think about the will of God? Do you find out, is this friend in my life fulfilling God's will in my life? Think about it. These are questions you should ask. So let me get to this teaching. Praise God. That wasn't the teaching. That was an intro. Psalm 127. So, notice the intro I gave you. God's will is not your will. Alright? God's will doesn't mean everything's going to turn out fine. Alright? God's will is on His own terms, not on your terms. Alright? And God's will is written. You can see it. And you know very well. God's will is that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's clear enough, right? That clear enough? Someone say, you're already in, you find yourself in Yugoslavia again. In Sweden. And then you want to pray. And you're praying. I had a friend like that. You see my friend. He's here in Nigeria, he's doing good. So he gets a job outside the country. He's a doctor. The job is so lucrative. Lucrative that if he gives a testimony in the service, the pastor will say, give it next week again. You know, the pastor will say, come again next week. This is it. This is it. You see this church is doing well? See what's going on in our members' lives. And I'm pleased to say this without apologies. Sometimes, if you hear the testimonies people give in churches, if you go to mosque, you hear the same things. I'm sorry, don't take this off the table. We tell ourselves the harsh realities. Amen. So he gets a job. Woo! He told me. I said, Fred, is it what God wants for you? He said nothing. I know it was in those days of 01, 2882, that was the number, I forgot. I called him. He said, okay, sir. I'll think about it. He never called me until he traveled. So he gets there. Then he asks me, what should I do now? I said, well, go ahead. You know why you're in that nation? What's on God's mind primarily? It's a Muslim nation. To reach out to people. That profession is a door. It's an opportunity for you. Today I'm enlightened. I went to school. I got the degrees I got. I can communicate the way I can. You know why? For His glory. Are you there? So he gets there. He starts a fellowship. Fellowship grows to 224 people. In a country where they never allow people to hold church meetings. He gets people saved. So, I call him one of those days. He said, I want to talk to you, sir. I said, what's the problem, sir? My job. My job is demanded. He got two new offers when he got to that country. Two new offers. He was working for, I think, UNICEF, one of the companies. Three different organizations. You know, they get tax-free, had a house, has cars, money. You know, everything was, he wasn't going to spend his money in that country. You know, it looks like God, doesn't it? He wasn't going to spend, like, he wasn't going to pay for breathing. Everything was paid for. They even gave him so many things. So let me mention some other fun things. Like that. I said, Fred, three jobs? He said, it just seems for now, so that he can stabilize. So what do you want to do? So I'm thinking I should allow one of my converts to hold the meetings for now. So what did you just say? Again, he said, I'll get back to you. He left the fellowship. He moves to another place. He has money. And then the new convert takes over the fellowship. And less than a month, the country, the government lifts the ban on Christian activities. How best can God judge your actions? Today, I saw him on Facebook. He goes from bad to worse. Drinking in the UK. Living life. The jaws were a trap. That's what they were. He will never be happy for the rest of his life. He will never be at peace. He will struggle. He will fight it. He will kill it. He will stop going to church. He will abuse ministers. They are thieves! He's fighting his conscience. He's out of God's will. So he has to rebel somewhere. And I'm watching him. So I saw the things he posted on Facebook. I smiled. Prayer. You. One day you come back to yourself. We were 80 years old. You lived your life in vain. And that young Muslim who became a Christian has now grown the ministry so large and they're doing good. Because of, you can't lose what money can buy for what money can buy. Are you there? All right, let's get to today's teaching. First, Psalm 127, verse 1. This scripture is very key to me. I call it one of my key scriptures. I aim my life upon. I'm trusting God, and I want you to pray with me too, that I keep following exactly what the scripture says. I don't deviate. Stay with what God wants me to do. It's never easy. Amen. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen wake up, they wake, but in vain. Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house. Now, do you notice he didn't say you won't build the house? You will build the house. But did the Lord build it? That's the point. Now, we often think successful projects is the will of God. Not true. Not true. Not true. Not true. And ambition has to be God's will. I always say this. The first major ambitious project in Bible was Genesis 11, when he went to build the Tower of Babel. And God said, whatever they wanted to do, whatever they imagined in their minds, they will do it. Sometimes, some people are just successful because they have a strong will. They are determined people. I know guys who are very determined. They are so determined when God is talking, they won't hear him. When they set their minds to do something, they must do it. Really? That's not a Christian virtue. I must do it. If I say I will do it, I will do it. I know things in my life that I wanted to do and I did it. And I can't tell you today God told me to do it. I was talking to a lady years ago. She wanted to do something. And I said, she said, look, sir, let me do it first. Can you imagine? Let me do it first. I said, you doing it first is not the point. You will do it. You will succeed. Obviously, you're getting your plans right. But the point is, does God want you to do this? She couldn't answer that question. She could answer the question. I said, you must succeed. To succeed is not a, look, people run races. You know, people are projects in this world. People that are not born again, they set up projects and they succeed. And you hear their plans. They'll tell you, look, I set my mind to do this and I did this and I did that. Bill Gates told his story. He said, I left school because I knew I could succeed with the four walls of school. He said, I knew that I was going to change the world. Same thing, Steve Jobs. But these are guys that don't retain God in their minds. That imagination didn't have God in it. So you having a strong will, a strong desire, a drive for success doesn't necessarily mean you are in the will of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Everybody needs to check their ambitions. Not wrong having ambitions, but you need to check it often. Check it often. Brother Hagin says, it's better to be slower than God than to be fast. I know that everyone who follows God's plans are slow. That I know. If you're following God's plan for, sometimes we're too fast. Some of us are just too fast. Pum, 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 pum. Hey, easy. Shall the Lord build the house? They labor in vain that build it. So, listen to me tonight.
Yes, sir.
So, we want to take these things one by one. How many of you believe God has a plan for our lives? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you believe. Raise your hand. Have you bothered to find out what it is? How can you say God has a plan and you are not finding out? If God has a plan, then you must find out. What is it? What does He want me to do? Watch this. Brother Higgins said this, and I believe it. He said, many live and die without getting into the first phase of God's plans for their lives. They live and die. They never did anything God wanted them to do. Now, what do you mean by first phase? And I'm going to say something to you. Just keep it in your mind. Remember Acts 13 verse 2. Remember Paul? Paul, Saul, and Barnabas. Remember that? Take the words the Holy Spirit said to them. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them. What do you mean by that? In Acts 9, Saul or Tarsus was preaching. In Acts 11, he was found in Antioch with Barnabas, and they were teaching and making disciples. In Acts 12, he took relief to Jerusalem. He was busy. Yet, he's been told, for the work I have called. Imagine if he died in Acts 11 or Acts 12. Would he have died fulfilled? Huh? No. But would he have been busy? Yes. Would he have been serving the Lord? Yes. Come on, guys, are you following this? And there are too many people, they never get to that point where they settle into what God wanted them to do. They settle into it. I caught that point, a consecration point. Later on, we'll get to that. But he's busy, yet he's doing several things. And those several things are pleasing to the Lord. Yeah, they are. He's winning souls. He's reaching the lost. Yet he had to find out in Acts 13. You know the thing about following God's plan and find out? You can't sit down. I thought when I was younger, I went for this prayer meeting, myself alone and God. And I took a week out of Lagos and I went to pray. And I carried this diary with me. They would have done it before. And I went to pray and pray and I was writing things down. Done it before? You're lying, right? I wrote things down. But that diary was green. I mean, red diary. I wrote so many things in there. So many things. So many things, you know. I'll pray. So I carried it. I said, this is God's plan for my life. So I got the book so jealously. Didn't got anybody to read it. One time, a cousin of mine came to a house, said, who has a diary? I screamed! Like carried the hack of God. What's that? So one day, 95, I was going for a camp meeting. So I was at Ojota, and so I put the diary in my bag, traveler's bag. So I put it at the back of the bus. So I go in front. You know, money was there. I get to Badon. And I can't find the diary again. And the money was intact. Not so much money, 489. It was intact. And I heard the Lord say, that idol is gone. It's time for you to listen now. Because those things were my plans. Following God's plan is a lifelong thing. Finding out His plan is a lifelong activity. Are you listening? So from that point, I stopped writing stuff. Except Simon knows. I'm open, Lord, whatever you want me to do. If you tell me, hey, don't do this again. Do that. I'm okay. So you need to find. It's something. You in Acts 16, hey Saul, Paul and his team, they are prepared to go to Asia. Acts 16. They were ready to go to Asia. They set up the whole place. Acts 16, verse 6. They had bought tickets. In fact, flyers had gone ahead. And they were ready to do it. They sent events managers ahead of time. and they announce on TV, hey guys, praise the Lord, we're coming to Asia, glory! And they put it on Facebook, Paul in Asia, the Word and the Spirit. Say, arousing the lordship of the world, demonstrating the influence of the Spirit, be there, have a life-changing encounter with the living Word, was on Facebook. Members of his ministry had sent on Twitter, Paul in Asia. Some guys would not just comment on his Facebook, sir, we've been waiting for this moment. Oh, glory. I can't wait for the meeting to start. Those are the things that sometimes get you into trouble. Because the people you're talking to, last time they prayed was a long time ago. They don't even know what's right. I'm here. I'm a young man. I go to South Africa. I go to Zimbabwe. I preach. Most of my mates had not even gone beyond Ogun State to preach. But I traveled. I'd gone to different states of Nigeria. I'd gone to Ghana. And I'm going to South Africa. And in 1998, South Africa looked like going to heaven. So I go to South Africa. First place I've been in my life that there was no power court. First place. I got so afraid at the point, I said, why aren't they taking light? All right. So I get there, and I'm landing at the airport. I'm preaching for many churches. People are celebrating me. Some guys say, wow, my man. He's in the university. He's preaching around Africa. And Lord said, did I send you here? I never asked him. So I quickly preached and got out of those countries. Quickly. Came back to Nigeria. And this is a friend of mine. He's known me for a while, long time. And he says, he's telling me. And I'm watching him. He says, said, as you travel, so the Lord just told me, Shegun is following my plan for his life. He's my friend. Now look at him. Lesson 101. Don't listen to him again. He doesn't even know. But I knew about it. You know, it's a funny thing. I've gotten to go to Africa now. In fact, a few months ago, even till Monday, I had a group of churches asking me to come. And I'm still very cautious. 1998. Did I ask you to come? I don't even want to pray about it. I said to one on Monday, I said, I just wish God would just take me there on his own. I'll just get there and say, you know, I didn't come by myself. You came, you drop here. That's how I'm careful. I'm careful. The meetings were so nice. 11 churches on one day said, you're going to preach for us. When I said, okay, you know what? Whoever gets to my hotel first, I'll preach for you. I got the best SUVs I'd ever been to in my life. I didn't know I was going to have one later in life. I sat in there and I was praying in tongues. This is heaven. But did God send you there? Very important. So they said, and God says, don't go to Asia. Huh? So I said, I bind thy voice. I bind thy voice. Fire. Holy Ghost fire consume God. Second time, Acts 16 verse 7. He says, don't go. Acts 8:14, Paul knew in his spirit. Acts 20:22. So knowing, following God's plan is a daily event, a yearly, monthly event. You need to keep checking out what you're doing. You need to keep checking it out. I'm in there yet. Move on. You find out. Never stop finding out. What did I say? Never stop finding out. Never stop finding out. Romans 12:2. The IBC bring by the message of God. You present your body, a living sacrifice. Verse 1, holy and acceptable, which your reason worship to God. And then verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know, you will acknowledge that which is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Note this, the world will always keep you busy. God makes you fulfilled. The world will keep you busy. Pastor Chris asked this question years ago. Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, I was in the service, he asked this question. He said, Have you stopped to find out whether you're in God's will for your life? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you know, life has already set its courses for you. Whether you're a Christian or you are not a Christian. You are born. When you are born, you cry. When you cry, at a point, they feed you. When they feed you, you feed yourself. You start going to crèche, from crèche to nursery school, nursery school, primary school. When you're in primary four, in fact, right now, since from in those days, primary six, now primary four, you're writing common entrance. Primary five, you're in from GSS one. You're in GSS one. So life is set for you. GSS three, by GSS three, they're asking you, so what do you want to become? Someone say, I want to become an engineering doctor. You know, your mind is really confused. You know, I told myself I was going to be an aeronautical engineer, with an accounting skill and computer, you know, confused human being. So, you get to SS1, and then you begin to find out how real life is. Then in SS2 and SS3, then what do you want to become? Then you limit your choices. You know, say, well, I'm a science student. He said, well, you say, I'm going to be a doctor. After a while, you say, well, medical sciences, generally, you know, so life set up. You get to university, you thought it's over. And then by the time you're in third year, in fourth year, some guys are talking about masters already. Masters? Well, no, you're done with it. Yeah, I'm going to do my masters in UK. And my uncle has told me that I should just send my, so you're always thinking, masters. You're in your final year, and your mom begins to ask you, are you alone? I say, well, I'm alone. They're setting you up already. Life has its own course for you. You're getting out of school. You get to NYC. You say, Sir Alpha, you've not brought anybody home. I brought my disciple. Shut up, what's that? What's my name? Disciple. He said, what rubbish is that? Not disciple, I'm talking about the Christ himself. So, life is set for you. That's the man that's pressure. If you have watched your life, that you probably have never had the time to think. Okay, and you say, what about job? You get a job? Yeah, is this the right job? Yeah, what other job? I've been to another place. As you're doing that, what about husband? What about wife? All right, you rush to do that one. You get married. And then you get married. What about children? So, okay, we're planning. You get children, say, is this all? Is it more? What about house? Are you not going to build your own house? So you keep pushing. 45, 48, 50. Then that parent maybe now leaves home and goes. So you say, so what was it all about? What was it all about? At 50, you discover that there's still more pressure. You build a house. You say, build a house only in Nigeria. Are you listening now? So by the time you're 50 and 55, going to 60, what have I done? What have I lived for? You satisfy everybody. You never thought about God. Everybody has been pleased. Everybody. Your children have been pleased. Your wife has been pleased. You now say, what have I done? He said, the earlier you ask that question, the better for you. The earlier. What does God want me to do? It's not a religious question. It's a Christian's question. Are you listening? The world gets you busy. You will be so busy. So busy. Very, very busy. I know the most lucrative jobs are the ones that you are very busy. Hallelujah. You see the employment letter. 1 million naira per month. You say, yeah! I know who I am. Walking in power. Have the life of favor. I know who I am. See, now say, working hours. Mondays to Mondays. Resume 7:30. You close when the day is over for us. Look at it. There's a way around it. There's a way around it. You know your problem? Money. You will never pray about such jobs. You just be thanking God. Father, I thank you. You're not saying, Father, do you want me to? Father, I thank you for the blessings. You have empowered me. I confess boldly, all I have is from you. Brother, do you find out God's plans? You know, it's easy to talk about just marriage. But what about your career? Do you find out whether what you are doing is what God wants you to do? But I'm giving in church. Huh? No. I'm earning good money. No. You want to travel? Poop! Travel, poop, they're gone. Where are you now? You're a man of the spirit, you know. I'm in America. Sir. It came suddenly. You know how these things are like. Even Jesus told them, Acts 2, and the Holy Ghost is there, came suddenly. But everything is fine, sir. I'm enjoying myself. In fact, Pastor, I have your CDs. They will just bribe you. I'm enjoying my Christian life. For 6 months, after 1 year, they won't call again. 2 years, 3 years. Did you ask God before you got the visa? The issue is not getting married or your career. It's not even traveling or business. It's how does God want you to go about it? How does He want you to go about it? Don't get set in your ways that you can't ask questions. How does He want you to go about it? Does it amaze you to know that not everybody should marry? Not everybody should marry. It's in the Bible. I know you flip it over when you get there. Just move. Paul. So what is this? It's not in the originals. And not everyone should not marry. That was not a revelation. So you sit down and ask the questions. Not everybody should marry at the same time. And not everybody should marry the same way. Don't let that strange anointing on Saturdays when you go for some wedding come upon you. They say they now throw in something. Christian, you now hold it. Say, Baba Shakala Baba. And you know when people are praying on wedding day, they say, see, no fair deal. Pressure on your mind. Before you know it, any brother in the community church that smiles at you is husband. In the community church. I didn't mention sin. Sister, you're looking good. Eh? Any sister that says, I appreciate you a lot for your... You do? No, that's how I am generally. Because you're under pressure. This is not my issue. We'll get to that one. Amen. Everything has its time for each individual. When people ask me, can you share your life? My own life is even too small enough. I say, I'm just a young man. To share your life, just want to learn from you. I say, wait. Wait till a long time. My 88th birthday. Because I tell someone, I say, look, God's plan for me is not His plan for you. Before you start following stereotype, don't follow stereotype. Oh. Somebody starts a church. And I tell someone, is it everybody that God wants to be a pioneer of a church? Imagine if it's like that. Just you and yourself remember. No. No. Praise the Lord. No. So there's something about doing it, not just doing the right thing, doing the right way. Are you listening? There are some people in a courtship relationship, they should wait a bit before they get married. Some, they should get married as soon as possible. But if you follow anybody's pattern, some, they should break it. Hey, yes, so. Break it. Not bend it, though. When you bend it, you can still put it back. You break it. And that's the truth. Listen, I asked someone this morning, why are you pastoring? What is the reason why you started the church? He couldn't answer. What is the reason behind it? You see, listen now. When you are doing business, why are you doing it? The job you took, why did you take it? Why are you marrying A or B? Why? What is the purpose? What is the reason? These are questions you ask. What is the purpose? In 1 Samuel 8. I'll talk about this later, but let me just give you an idea. In 1 Samuel 8, you know, Israel asked for a king. Go and read the story very well. It was a circumstantial request. Samuel had children. Two children, one of them, his name was Joel. Two children. They were supposed to take over as priests. Are you aware Samuel replicated what Eli did? His children were just like Eli's kids. That's Samuel. So they told him, your children are not fit to take over the priesthood. Get us a king. Now, it looks funny because it means that because he had done what was wrong, he took advantage of it. Be careful for circumstantial decisions. And they said, no, we got a king. And Samuel said, a king. When God had declared himself your king, he said, we want a natural king. A king we can see. A dear old sister. Why am I talking sister? It's not only sister. She came to me. She was in a relationship with a Muslim. This is a sister that when she's preaching, angels will suspend their duty and listen to her. And I said, ah. I said, what is the problem? She came to my room. She was asking. She gave me scripture. She said, you know, the Bible says, Uzziah, God told Uzziah to marry a prostitute. Some things are difficult to comprehend. I'm the pastor. I never come in contact with such insights. So she said, I know we have a comforter within, the Holy Ghost. She was answering me. She said, but I need a comforter in the flesh. I just saw Israel. No, so she was not even a Muslim. It was just one regular, nice guy like that. So I said, she said, okay, pray for me. Pray for me. Whatever it is, just be praying for me. I say, say yes, man. Just pray. Prayer cannot undo what you just do. Me, I didn't pray. Today, she goes to Mecca. She has the Holy Ghost, a seal of redemption. One day, one of the members of our ministry went to in front of where she stays. She told me, she said, I saw a miracle in front of where we live. Said, administered by the power of the Holy Ghost. Said, I knew. This was many years after I'd seen her. Said, I knew it was your ministry. Said, I told my father-in-law, I know the ministry. They didn't mention the name of. Said, I know the ministry. We were trained like that.
Interesting. I said, Jesus Christ. The guy who ministered there was not a Christian when she was ministering years ago. Sometimes, you know, say, I want a king, Israel. Say, why do you want a king? We just want a king, like every other nation. I want a king. They say, like every other nation. I want to marry like all my colleagues. I want to travel out like everybody. I want to do this. Samuel was now saying, ah, you people, there's God's plan, which is God's plan. God wants everything good for us. What do you say? God does not want bad things for his children. Simply, God now said to Samuel, said, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. What do you interest in? God gave them a king. And Israel had never had rest from that point today. The kind of kings they've had. God gave them. Are you listening? I'll handle this later. What's what you really want? Why do you want it? Are you there? God can say no. How many God can say no? You know, we just want to hear yes. Thank you, Father. His words are yes and amen. Hallelujah. That is the fulfilled promises. God does not always say yes. He is not programmed. Yes, 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 yes. And you are talking to God. God says, I say yes. Oh, yes. To your will and to your way. God is talking to you. I say yes. Oh, yes. I will follow you and obey. Whatever you say to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Oh, yes. God can say no! After you have planned well, he says no. Ha! I bind the voice. With what? God can say no. Are you there? And be careful of circumstances that present themselves for you to make desperate decisions. Just like the children of Israel. Write this down if you're writing. Obedience has costs. And I know we are in a generation, I can tell you confidently, that they don't know costs of following Jesus. Because most of the testimonies we hear today, you know, you got a job, you got a car, you now have travel, you have visa. How many have said, I stood my ground, I didn't compromise my faith? In the 80s and the early 90s, the testimonies were, I was persecuted in my family, I stood still. That's why many of us, we find it strange when our families persecute us, our friends, our co-workers at work. We think, am I doing something wrong? You're not doing something wrong. That's Christianity. If it's God's will, everybody must be clapping for me. Hey, obey. No! There's a cost to obeying God. Are you listening? Yes, sir. There's a cost to obeying God. Someone was telling me this earlier, that she was talking to those who worked together in the team. They were talking about, you know, have you made sacrifice for the gospel? It was the nice things. Yes, you know, when I wanted to take an examination, I had to go to church. How is that a sacrifice? You go to church to hear God's word. I had to go to church to hear God's word, you know, but I was thinking, as I got to my room, the Holy Spirit told me the thing to read. I read it and I passed. How is that a cost? These are the kind of testimonies we hear today. What if you failed? You're quiet. Eh? I was born to win. I was born to fail. That's why we can't handle the harsh realities of life. When they happen, we lose control. We lose our cool. Because we never know. We've never known. Obedience has costs. Sometimes you will fail. Sometimes things will go bad because you obeyed God. Sometimes things will go so well because you didn't obey God. So listen to me. Obedience has cost. It will pay in the long run. But don't expect microwave results if you are going to follow God. Today, we have fewer people, and I can talk to my generation.
I knew people when we started out in the work of ministry. We swore our lives to stay on the integrity of God's word. I see some of them today and I wonder why. Because you wanted crowd, you wanted acceptance, and so on and so forth. I'd rather die than not do what God says I should do. Doesn't make sense. And they say, well, you know, I had to do this. One told me, well, you know, I had to do this. You know, I had bills to pay. I had this to do. No, obeying God has cost. Some of those costs could be bills. No way, in Jesus' name, it can't be. Says who? What kind of Christianity are you living that doesn't have harsh conditions? You just be doing cherry picking. Oh, I'm doing God. Oh, thank you, Father. No. There's something called lay down my life to simply follow you. It's Christianity. Obeying God could mean setting aside what you wanted to do. Some of us, the kinds of people we wanted in our minds, that wanted to marry before we got saved, is still the same image in our minds. We've not allowed the word of God to walk on it. And you're still just the same way. The same pursuit you had. You wanted to make money at all costs, any cost, and in every cost. You are still like that. Abba. Something must change. When you're following the Lord, eternity is no longer, listen, eternity, I said this, eternity is longer than any time you think. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? As I grew older, this is my testimony, born in the faith and naturally, I understood not to rush. Just calm down. Have become slower, generally, just slower. Just slower, generally. Things of the ministry. Just slower. Well, it may not be now. It may not be now. I know Brother Hagin is one of the most influential Christian leaders, 19th, 20th century, 21st century. Brother Hagin did not start the Bible school that was God's plan for his life. He didn't start the Bible school till he was 57. But he had preached 40 years before that Bible school started. Some of us will have started that Bible school at 19. In a hurry for people to know you, to be accepted. Sometimes the pressure from family. You also want to do something that you say, I have results. Family is not the people that will award you or reward you. It's God. There's no point running. Where are you running to? Be slow. Eternity is longer than you think. What did God tell you to do? Have you asked that question? Start from things that you know before you get to the unknown. Are you still there? How do you pray? You know, look at your prayer life. Check your prayer life. Check the things you pray about. Was it last week I told you that Paul prayed for deliverance? He prayed for knowledge. He prayed for the word of God should grow. Paul never prayed for money. Paul never prayed for favor. Today, open doors for the gospel has become, I receive open doors in my business. Where is that in the Bible? Paul never prayed. Self-motivated prayers. Worldliness-induced prayer points. Are you concerned about God's purpose and plan for your life? Can I go on? As we started this, because we're just starting today, don't add this to the list of the doctrines. See to it that you understand what I'm saying and you fulfill it. Listen now. What is success? Success is obedience to God's plans. That's what it is. Obedience to God's plans. God will not bless your plans. God will only bless His own plans. Are you there? God's plan will work the way God wants it. It doesn't have to work the way you want it. That's why I laugh when people go for all these church good conferences and I smile. You want to follow patterns? Why do you follow patterns? Follow God's plan for your life. What does God want you to do? You just simply do that. Sometimes all he wants you to do is just stay in a community and be teaching God's word there. That's all he wants you to do. That's what he wants you to do. That's all. Sometimes all he wants you to stay in Lagos, and that's where you'll be for the rest of your life. That's what he wants you to do. No, I want to dream big. Dream big. It is the Lord's desire. Dream big. No. Follow God's plans. Obedience is daily. Are you there? Obedience is not an action after a teaching. When you kneel down, you cry and you scream. No, no. It's what you do tomorrow morning when you get to the office. There are nine key things that we're going to look at about purpose. And I'll just brief you tonight. Then we'll start. Acts 9. Are you there? Are you there? Ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. Don't forget. Acts 9. Following God's purpose and plan starts with this fundamental question that Paul the Apostle asked. Acts 9. When he knew it was Jesus, verse 6, he said, "What will you have me to do?" Have you asked that question? What will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? Acts 9, verse 6. So I'm going to share with you. So I said, that's a question you must ask. Lord, what will you have me do? No, Lord, I want to do this. What will you have me do? Now then, there's seven questions that we're going to look at together. Number one, in the purpose of God, there are several things you must find out. Number one, the place. Every one of us has a place he must be. Nobody is meant to be everywhere. The place. Where do you want me to be? Before you relocate, find out. Where are you supposed to be? Stop jumping to every nation in the world. Where are you meant to be? Where are you meant to be? The first thing is the place. Number two. Second thing you have to find out is giftings in your life. Is callings. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was made obvious to you by laying on hands and by prophecy." You must find out. The giftings and callings. I call the number two, possession. What do you have in your possession? You must find out. Firstly, place. Place is very vital. Because you have to be at the right place where he wants you. Hallelujah. Number two, we're going to take it one by one. I'm just running through this. Second thing, your giftings and callings. Secondly, number two, possession. Three, I call three, pasture. P-A-S-T-U-R-E. Where are you supposed to be fed? The local church. Where are you supposed to be fed? Nobody can fulfill God's plan for his life outside the local church. The local church is God's idea. Where does he want you to be? That's the third one. Where he wants you to be fed daily and regularly. Number four, partnership. Who does he want you to be with? Friends. You must find out. You can't just marry anybody, even those who are in ministry. Does he want you to marry that fellow? Spouse, husband, wife. Find out kind of friends he wants you to have. Number one, I said place. Two, possession. Three, pasture. Four, partnership. Partnership. You can't fulfill purpose with the wrong friends. No, it's not possible. You have to have the right company with you, the right partnership, the right people you relate with. Number five, passion. God's purpose is for the lost. Discover that passion that he has placed in you. Every believer, write this down, every believer has been given a passion for the lost by God. Find out. You must find that out as you fulfill purpose. That's number five. Number six, and this is quite critical, find out the different seasons of your life. Life is in phases, they say. Men are in sizes. There are seasons of only life. There are things that you will do based on your maturity. I look back at my life as a person. I'm still trusting God for greater, greater decades ahead of me. And I see there were seasons, really. There were times and seasons. There are things that, you know, the seasons of your life that God wants you to find out. What is this period for? Sometimes are so hard and difficult, it's a season for you to learn something. And sometimes you push it over. Sometimes you run out of it. Sometimes you go for the easier option. Sometimes rather than staying where God wants you, you travel out. You know, you just get out. He still wants you to go out of the country, but not now. So find out. I'm not talking to everybody anyway. But that's a season. Number 7, provision. Find out how God wants to provide for His plan for your life. There sometimes He will say, don't go to this place to get anything. You know, He told Abraham. Abraham told the king of Sodom, I'm taking nothing from you. Do the earth is the Lord's, put us there. Elisha said to Naaman, I'm not taking anything from you. Well, I thought the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, but find out. Some provision can just take you out of God's purpose and plan for your life. Brother Hagin told the story how years ago he needed a ministry office desperately. They had no money. And then this group of businessmen came together. They're wealthy guys. And they said, Brother Hagin, we've been blessed by your ministry. We will finance your ministry. We'll give you all the money that you want. So he was so happy. And God told him, don't take the money. I'll provide for you. Those guys will run and ruin your ministry. Sometimes some funds shouldn't be taken. Sometimes some help from an uncle, an old friend should not be taken. There are some friends that will come to help you in your times of need. And all they do is reestablish a relationship you mustn't have. Find out the kind of provisions He wants to give you. We're still going to go to this much later. So, let's go to 2 scriptures quickly. Acts 22. Are you learning something? Following God's plan is a practical thing. Acts 22. I close here. Paul describes his vision. Acts 22. So, 7 things. Number 1, place. Number 2, possession, that's the ability. Number 3, pasture, the local church. Number 4, partnership. Number 5, passion. Number 6, and number 7, don't forget them. Don't forget them. We're going to take them one by one as we go on. Now watch this. In Paul's vision, he describes what Jesus told him. Listen carefully. He said, arise, verse 10. And go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things that are appointed for you to do. It shall be told to you. That is, what God wants me to do, He will tell me. That's important. He will tell me. So in 21, depart, and I will send thee far ends unto the Gentiles. 21. So, look at the second vision. Acts 26. 22-23 now. Acts 26. Verse 16. Arise and stand upon thy feet. Acts 26. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. To make you a minister. And a witness both of these things which you have seen. And those things in which I will appear unto you. Two things. Things I know now, and things I will still know. Watch this. Delivering you from the people. Oh, this is an important thing. May your eyes open to this truth. Delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. The first thing is, He delivers him from them. That shows us you should never be a man pleaser. The first thing we need to do in following God's plans for our lives is to be sanctified and consecrated to His purpose. Whether people like it or they don't like it, has no impact on us. Delivering you first for the people, then I'm sending you to the people I delivered you from. I'm first delivered from them. So,
This is good. This is good. No. You're supposed to listen to people you are sent to. So listen to God. Amen. And lastly, we'll share this later. One of the ways you can know God's purpose for your life, I'll close here, is that it will never be about you. It will always be about others. Anything about you, check God. From Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, all of God's servants, Jesus, God in man, Paul, Peter, their purpose was always about others. A vessel never serves itself. A vessel serves others. Hope I've communicated something to you. I hope I've communicated something to you. Think about it. It's never about you. So those of us building things around ourselves, it's time to find out about you. It's about others. So in this series, we're going to take it step by step. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. May I never build in vain. May I never run in vain. May I never do efficiently what I ought not to have done at all. A day is coming. You and I will stand before Jesus. He's going to ask you one question. Did you follow my plans for your life? And all the noise people make around us will have been over. What we're chasing through our life will become nothing. The man called the rich man in Luke 16 found out they don't spend money when he's left this world. Father, nobody calls you rich afterwards. Nobody will call you professor. You'll be shocked your children won't call you daddy. Stand before your Lord. Did you fulfill his purpose for your life? There's no better time to think about this but now, when all the noise is over. As a young man, I had nights I had to cry, because the things I wanted were taken from me. One thing always came to my mind. I know one day I'll stand before Jesus and I'll tell him, I did my best. I did what I was supposed to do. It's the greatest pursuit of my heart. I found out that men clapping for you doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. I've always known that. Many times, only two people know whether you're doing the right thing. You and God. Sometimes if you're deaf enough, only God. Let us pray. Let's pray. Don't get too busy not to find out. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain to build it. Don't labor in vain. Don't please men. Please the Lord. Many people we are pleasing are temporary people. Only the will of God is permanent. Pay the price. Pay it now. Obedience has costs. Obey God. Pay the price now. If you are in the ministry, why are you in the ministry? You're a pastor. Why are you a pastor? If you're in a relationship with a woman or a man to marry, or you are married, why? Is it for your sake? Or you are helping the person fulfill his or her God's, or his or ours in God's purpose and plan for their lives? Or is it about you? Ask a question from a brother this afternoon. Why are you marrying that lady? Are you getting married to her to help her fulfill God's plan for her life? Or so that you can satisfy yourself in the flesh, carnally? Have a woman in your life and have children. That's selfish. What about helping her fulfill God's plan for her life? What about helping her do God's will? Are you in that man's life because you want a man in your life to be husband? What about him doing God's will? Your friends, why are you in their lives? In the local church, why are you there? Find out God's plan. Obey Him. Obey Him. Lord, I give you my heart.